For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to the Howard Eskin podcast. This is episode number 17, and it will be with Charles Barkley. And we'll talk about things that Charles Barkley normally talks about, but we'll also talk about the things that are going on in this country, which Charles Barkley is very outspoken about. That talks about the social problems, the statues that people want to tear down, all these kind of things. But we'll also obviously talk about some sports with Charles Barkley. But before we get to that, before we get to Charles Barkley, I want to run down some of the things that obviously are necessary to talk about this week. Now, with the as we put this up, this podcast up, the Eagles have not played their final preseason game, so we'll be able to judge whether this is really, accurate, or my opinions are correct, and you can always challenge my opinions. But here's what I think will happen, assuming you listen to this before the cuts are made, and the cuts are made after the final game, and that's against the Jets. All right, the Eagles have some obvious decisions to make. Wide receiver, they have more than, every team has more than enough. They have more than enough. And I've said this before, I think it will be Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, Nelson Agholor, Marcus Johnson will make the team. Matt Collins, the draft pick, he will make the team. Play mostly special teams, but you'll see him in there at wide receiver. I know at one point the Eagles wanted to carry six wide receivers, but that could change because of another issue with the Eagles. And let me run it down. Now, the sixth wide receiver will either be Bryce Treggs or will be Ward. And I think Ward will get through to go to the practice squad. And I think they'll keep Treggs only if they carry six wide receivers. Now, here's the rub with that. Nick Foles has not played a down, as I speak, has not played a down in the preseason. That is a little bit of a problem. He's got some tenderness or soreness or whatever it's called in his elbow, his throwing elbow, which, by the way, he had last year with Kansas City, and they treated it with rehab, and they kept it manageable to the point where Nick Foles could play. Everybody's got a little pain when they play. This could be a little bit of an issue. I know the Eagles front office has discussed this issue. Now, if they are concerned, and they say they're not, if they're concerned, they could carry a third quarterback. Who that third quarterback might be is up for interpretation. Matt McGloin is not a real answer, although he is the guy that's there and has played through most of the camp. You get to the third quarterback, you're in trouble anyway. But if you carry three quarterbacks, then you most likely can't carry six wide receivers. They are thinking about four tight ends, but I think Billy Brown will end up, and he's played well in camp, will end up on the practice squad. And there's other players. And we forget about Byron Marshall, the running back. He's going to end up on the practice squad. But that brings us to the other running backs. We know who the three will be. It will be LeGarrette Blount. It will be Darren Sproles. And it will be Wendell Smallwood. Those are three running backs. The fourth running back is really interesting. Is it Donnell Pumphrey or will it be Corey Clement? And that, to my opinion, Corey Clement right now is the better back. Danielle Pumphrey is almost too small. I know they see upside. I'm not comfortable with him fielding punts because the two he's fielded in preseason, two of them were not very good. Actually, he fumbled the balls. So I'm not comfortable with that. He's a small guy. If you're trying to get a guy through waivers and get him to the practice squad, I think you have a better chance with Donnell Pumphrey, even though he was a fourth round pick, than Corey Clement. Corey Clement has played well. But again, we'll see what happens in that area. But the quarterback situation, and I know there's been talk, but there's always talk. The nonsense that appears in the newspapers, the nonsense that we hear every day about Colin Kaepernick. Let me just break it down fairly simply. And I've talked about this in the past. Colin Kaepernick is not a good quarterback. If it weren't for the other issues with Colin Kaepernick, if it weren't for those other issues, we wouldn't even be talking about Colin Kaepernick, as we're not talking about RG3 not having a job yet either. He doesn't have a job because he's not a good quarterback. Colin Kaepernick does not make good decisions as a backup quarterback, and this is what people fail to look at. And he may want too much money as a backup quarterback. That could be another issue. And I love Pete Carroll's reason for not signing Colin Kaepernick when he worked him out and brought him out to Seattle. He's a starting quarterback, and we already have a starting quarterback. That's just total nonsense. He doesn't want him. For whatever reasons, Colin Kaepernick is not wanted. And I don't think it's totally. I think it might be in part because he creates other diversions and other issues, and it brings on too much negativity to the organization, but he can't play. We have seen in the NFL, it doesn't matter whether you're a domestic abuser, it doesn't matter whether you blow the needle on a DUI, because Michael Floyd is a classic there. How many times did he get stopped while driving under the influence? And they still sign him. Domestic abusers, they still sign them. So that's not the issue. If Colin Kaepernick could play, he would be signed. But anybody that even remotely suggests that he should come to the Eagles, that really is a problem. And it's a problem because he can't play and he doesn't play the offense that the Eagles play. You can't have a backup quarterback who doesn't play within your system. And that's Colin Kaepernick. And obviously we know about the other issues with Colin Kaepernick, but that's the only reason we're talking about him. If he didn't have those other issues, he'd be long, long gone in our memories because he's just not a good quarterback. It really is that simple. All right. As I said, Charles Barkley, we discussed the issues, and it gets pretty deep with Charles. We discussed the issues with Charles about what's going on in the country, and obviously we deal with some of the issues in sports nowadays, and some of those are the Eagles, obviously basketball. All right, let's hear from Chuck. All right, it's Charles Barkley, who obviously is an expert, or he says he is an expert on basketball and that broken product in the NBA. But he's also a very, very, I think, very influential and intelligent voice about society. And people, Charles, and thanks for talking about this, people talk about the problems in the United States. And I don't know that everybody's trying to do the right things to help the problems. First of all, what is the problem and what can they do to help?
Well, first of all, you have to accept the fact there is racism. Racism has always been here. It's going to always be here. So you start with that premise. And then you have to make an honest decision what you can do. Like, you can't control what everybody thinks, says, or does, because it's like those fools in Charlottesville. Those people are never going to like black people. They're never going to like Jewish people. So that's just a wasted energy and effort trying to fight with those people. That's why I always start. But I try to figure out what can I do to make the situation better, and you go from there. Number one, I have no problem talking about any of this stuff. I think you have to be fair, you have to be honest, and try to come up with solutions.
All right, well, when people, and now we're dealing with football season, and you get guys sitting on the water cooler and guys kneeling and raising their arms, but I don't see that as it really affecting the impact. It just creates a different narrative. How do you look at that?
Well, first of all, thank you for acknowledging that point. I think that we have spent so much time worrying about the narrative of who's standing for the anthem, who's not standing for the anthem. We've actually lost the message that we were trying to get. I mean, we started a conversation. First of all, I don't ever tell anybody how to protest because we all can protest how we want to. But I think with this situation, we have spent the last now a year talking about Colin Kaepernick and different guys standing doing the national anthem and who's going to be there, who's a good guy who does it, who's a bad guy who doesn't do it. We've lost the narrative.
Yeah, well, so how do you get that point across if you're doing all that because you've confused the issue here?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you brought the point. We have totally confused the issue. You know how when I did my documentary, I sit down with black folks, I sit down with the cops, and we both need each other. Listen, the cops have made some serious mistakes. I think, number one, they're willing to admit that. We have to put a situation in place where cops just can't go around killing unarmed black men. And I think there's a couple things. Number one, I don't think white guys wake up in the morning and said, I'm going to go out and kill me a black guy. I think some of the guys, number one, shouldn't be cops. I think some of them are choking on the pressure, and the police have to admit that. And also, on the other end, we as black folks, we have to realize that part of the problem, we are putting ourselves in a situation where people look at us as criminals because we got so much crime going on in the black community, and we have to address that also. Unless we, like I say, both things can be true, and if one does not have to oversee the other. It's a combination of both things that we need to improve. We need to sit down and discuss because we need cops. We need cops. Cops have made some mistakes, but also we as black people have to understand if we keep killing each other at the rate we are, every time the cops come in the black community, they're on edge also. So we have to address that problem in our own community also, for real.
You know, Charles, people, and I've seen comments, well, Charles Barkley doesn't speak for the black people. Well, Charles Barkley is a black, African-American, whatever you want to call people of color. You are a person of color. And why do you think those people don't want to have your voice speaking for them?
Well, a couple of reasons, Howard. Number one, I'm not the only one. Any black person who says some other black people don't agree with, you get attacked. So that's part of it. It's kind of like that narrative. You know, one of the things that goes on in the black community, there's self-hatred. Well, light-skinned blacks, dark-skinned blacks don't get together. African blacks don't like either one of us. And until we address that problem, we're always going to have issues. You know, I've heard, first of all the blacks have heard this, you know, once you're successful, they don't look at you as black anymore. You don't speak for them. You can speak for them if you agree with them. It goes back, like I say, they want you to be honest, but they only want you to be honest if they agree with you. Listen, I can speak about my track record for what I've done for and what I'm doing for black people. I feel really good about it. It's self-explanatory, all the things I've done for my people. But I'm also going to try to hold them accountable. The way we're killing each other in this country is ridiculous and sad and embarrassing. But for the black people who say I shouldn't speak for black people, I'll put my track record up against them anytime. You know, because a lot of these black people out there, they act like they're black, but they're not doing anything to help black people. And we as black people need to call them out, to be honest with you.
Charles, people don't understand, and I had a conversation. Chris Long put his arm around Malcolm Jenkins the last game and showed his support, but he said he wouldn't kneel. He respects the flag. He did the right things. All these showed a support for a teammate. I said, Chris, you guys got to get out there and say something and tell people what you're doing. He says, well, and he's going to donate a lot of money from his paychecks this year to some kids program, I think in Charlottesville, where he went to high school. I know you make huge donations to the kids school system in Leeds, Alabama, where you grew up. Why can't people go out there and do that rather than do the other thing and not get the message across? Why can't they help?
Well, that's one of the things I've said, Howard. I think, and you asked me earlier, I think that somewhere along the way, the media, and I'm not going to say the media. The media, listen, a lot of great guys. We're great friends. There are a lot of great people in the media. But they kind of have hijacked the message. And now we need to take the message back and start putting some actions out there. We need to put some actions out there and stop worrying about who's standing up, who's kneeling and things like that. The message has been hijacked, and I think we, as players, we got great money. We get great visibility. I think some of these guys are doing some amazing things also, which also get lost. You know, we spend so much time talking about when these guys get in trouble and whether these guys deal or not. We got some guys out there doing some amazing things. And I applaud. I like Malcolm Jenkins from a distance. I've never had the opportunity to spend a lot of quality time with him. I respect what Michael Bennett is doing. Michael Bennett has put a lot of time, effort, and money into to kids' charities and things like this. So he has to put his money where his mouth is. But I think what the players need to do is we need to take a step back and say, okay, listen, we got our message out there. Now let's start working with these teams and some of these different charities and try. Because, Howard, it's not just about black or white. America is divided by economics. It's really rich people against poor people. So what we really need to do is, instead of making this thing about black and white, is make it about rich and poor. That's what we need to make a difference.
Charles, when you say, okay, you didn't donate to charities, but and tell me if I'm wrong, shouldn't athletes, and because they have the visibility, try to create some kind of town halls? You talked about the killing that goes on in the neighborhoods. Shouldn't they be out there, or couldn't they? I shouldn't determine whether they should or shouldn't. Couldn't they be out there to help at a town hall and try to speak to these kids about violence, about guns, about killing each other? Wouldn't that help?
Howard, I think the guys have done some amazing things. If you remember last year, the NBA went to Chicago had a town hall, and everything was great because it was on television and we talked. And then the next weekend, even last weekend, they shot 40 people. I think they killed 11. And this is a year later. And that goes back to my original point. Like, yeah, racism does exist, always has, always will, but and first of all, another thing, it's unfair to put all this pressure on black athletes to solve all the problems in the black community. They got to give these guys some help also. And like I say, stop killing each other. Now, hopefully we got to, number one, help them as far as getting their educations. We got to hopefully give them some economic opportunity. But it's really interesting, this whole dynamic of thing. Like, everybody's like, oh, we need all the jocks to solve all the ills of the black community. And that's really unfair to a certain degree. However, some of these parents got to get off their ass and help their own community.
You know, Charles, and I look to you because you're honest about these things. When these groups come out, Black Lives Matter, and I know you've made a comment about that, saying all lives matter. Well, doesn't people that come out and say Black Lives Matter, doesn't that divide people even more because all lives do matter?
Well, first, I have no problem with Black Lives Matter. I have no problem with any group that's great for black people because I'm black. I still say all lives matter. And listen, you know, some people got mad at me when I said we need the cops in our communities. I'm not backing down on that. We need the cops in our community. Now, that doesn't mean I want them shooting unarmed black men. I don't know how they got from A to Z, But we need the cops. They're an important. If it wasn't for the cops, we'd be living in the wild, wild west. But I've never said anything negative about Black Lives Matter because I think they do some good things. I don't agree with everything they do. But anybody who wants to help people who are less fortunate, I'm going to always support them.
Charles, I saw a comment you made about now, all of a sudden, after, what, 100 years, people want to take down statues. Does that create more of a problem than it helps?
Well, it's wasted energy. You know, Howard, I'm 54 years old. That's not a day in my life. I said to myself, hey, we need to get rid of all these Confederate statues. You know, you look at this silliness in Charlottesville last week. We got three innocent people killed. We had the one young woman who was with the good protest, so those idiot neo-Nazis guys. She got killed. She was 33. She didn't have to die. But they down there arguing over fighting with the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis, and a young woman got killed trying to do the right thing. Then you had two state troopers who were coming to assist got killed. They didn't have to die. But I think that one thing that we as Black people got to do, we got to be smarter. We need better schools. We need some of these Black folk to stop kidding each other, acting like damn idiots out there and doing things like that. And we need economic opportunity. I'm not going to waste a lot of energy going to a Ku Klux Klan rally or sitting around worrying about statues that I have not thought about a day in my life. You know, I mean, I just think it's, you have to be smart because you're just wasting time, number one, and you're wasting energy if you're doing all this just worrying about some stupid statue or monuments.
Yeah, and it's just these white supremacist groups, obviously, half the people are paid, well, I don't know whether it's half. There's some people that are paid to come and demonstrate who have no idea what they're demonstrating for. And, you know, the white people got to get, everybody's got to get under control. I don't know how you do that.
Well, Howard, first of all, I'm totally surprised more people haven't gotten killed in some of these protests because all the neo-Nazis have guns. And I'm trying to figure, even if you're a great protester, you're not going to talk them down. Those people, they're crazy. They have their sense of thinking. They're not going to change. They're never going to like Black people, Jewish people, Muslim, Hispanics. They're never going to like. So I don't understand why you would go there and yell and scream at people who got guns and y'all throw things at each other. It's just a matter of time before we have some catastrophe that happens. Because like I say, those people, they're bitter, they're angry. You can't talk any sense into them. And it's just wasted energy.
You know, Charles, when I speak about it, you know, you don't understand, you're white. And there's probably in a lot of cases, I don't understand. That's why I'm talking to you and I respect your opinion and you're straightforward with it. So with all that, what did you learn with those shows you did for TNT? And it was real life. It wasn't just sports. It wasn't this guy's good, this guy's bad, or this guy can't play. What did you learn from those?
Well, Howard, you know, I think it's so asinine when people say what you just said. Like, see, think about it. You just said when people say to you, you're white, you don't understand. Wait, I thought you said you wanted white players to help you. You know, think about it. That's how ignorant and asinine some other people are, even if they're on the good side. They're like, well, you're white, you don't understand. Wait, I thought you guys wanted our help. So that's the first thing I'll say about that. Howard, there's always been white people in the civil rights movement. You go back to the civil rights marchers. They got killed in Mississippi back in the 50s and 60s. I don't even have to come forward to see that young girl who got killed in Charlottesville. You know, when I see these marches, I see a lot of white people marching. So this notion that white folks aren't helping with the march, and that was one thing we talked about on one of my shows. One of the great civil rights heroes, C.T. Vivian, talked about, he says, you know, we got a lot of credit, Dr. King and guys like myself, but there were the one thing that he said that bothered him, that none of the white people never really got a lot of credit. And a lot of them lost their lives A lot of them lost their lives. So anybody who tell you you're white, you don't understand, you should just tell them to shut the hell up. They don't know what they're talking about. There's always been white people in the civil rights movement. So anybody who tells you that you don't, you're white, you don't know what's going on, you just need to tell them to shut the hell up.
You know, Charles, it's a serious issue, and I'm sure you will talk about it more. I will talk
about
it.
And we need serious people talking about it, Howard. What we don't need is somebody, a fake racist, who's just trying to fan the flames, or somebody on the other side who's going to tell white people they don't know what's going on. Of course they know what's going on, and they have been instrumental and helpful. That's the thing we don't need, Howard. We need people who got solutions, who want to come up with solutions. The last thing we need is people say, you're white, you don't understand, or you're not black enough, you don't, or saying something like, well, Charles Barkley, because he's rich and famous, he don't know what is black anymore. So those are the people we don't need.
Charles, all right, touching on some basketball, why does Kyrie Irving want out of Cleveland, in your opinion?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it, like, you don't want to play with another great player. Like, everybody wants to play with great players. You know, I hear all the rumors. He wants to have his own team. You're like, well, you had your own team. You won 10 games. 20 games every year you were the guy until LeBron came back, and then you win a championship. You know, Howard, I don't understand today's generation. They're more concerned with their brand than being on winning teams. I just don't understand that at all, to be honest with you.
You know, and LeBron James, it's obvious, and I think he's going to go somewhere else. What happened to the day? And you wanted to leave the Sixers because they screwed it up, but you didn't want to leave Philadelphia. There's players that just, you don't see them last with that same team for a career. And I know it's hard with free agency, but why do you think players, and LeBron is a classic example, just now he's going to bounce around to another team, where they just don't want to stay with the same team and be part of that community?
Well, I think something happened with the media a while back. Well, they turned on players who didn't win the championship. That's actually what happened. When you know, it became like, well, he's a great player, but he hasn't won a championship. And the guys, you know how these guys all said, I don't read the newspaper, whatever, and they're full of it. Everybody reads the newspaper and watch television. So, you know, if you go back when LeBron was a great player, the best in the world, in Cleveland, they're like, well, he's great, but he hasn't won a championship. So guys start like, okay, let's all get together and win the championship, and we'll shut everybody up. And now you saw it with Kevin Durant. It started with LeBron. Then it went on. Now it just happened with Kevin Durant. So players are now, because now everybody makes so much money, they can get their money anywhere. So now players are just saying, I just want to win the championship. They don't. What's going to be interesting is how long the fans accept no loyalty. That's what's going to be interesting. Because fans used to like, well, we might not win the championship, but we got a great player, and we're competitive. We might not win the championship, but we're competitive. But that's all changed now, and now, you know, they already talk about where the kid Giannis is going to go from Milwaukee. You know, they start like when they see the next young guy who's going to be a free agent. You see the same thing with Paul George. Like, okay. Indiana's had a great little run. They've been to the conference finals. They've been to the finals with Reggie, and they had a good team for years. But then Paul George was like, okay, y'all say I ain't won the championship. I'm going to move on and go play for the Lakers. So that's really what's happened. The media started this thing where if you don't win the championship, your life is not complete. And the players started reading it, and now they're all going to get together. And it's going to be interesting how long the fans accept it. That we only got two or three good teams, or, you know, when my guy gets good, he's going to leave and go join a super team. That's what's going to be interesting the next few years with the NBA.
How much has money changed players, whether it's the desire to when you went out there, I mean, guys would play with injuries and they would have pain. Now I don't know if you find it that much. How much has the money changed that?
Well, the game money has actually been – really a bad thing. Well, I shouldn't say that. God bless these guys for how much money they make. But how would you think about this?
But it is a big thing.
But think about this. You look at Dr. J, Moses, Bill Russell, those guys. Those guys rode commercial, rode trains, played four games in four nights for $50,000 a year. Now we got guys making $30, $40 million, private planes, and the NBA caved and moved the season up so these guys don't have to play back-to-back games. I mean, I'm like, what? You know, because Howard, I'm old enough. I flew commercial, and we played four games and five nights back-to-back. You know, that's part of your job when you're making a couple million dollars. God bless me and my day. But now, you think about it, it's easier now. They all got their own planes. They got the best doctors. They got the best chefs in the world. Like I say, the average NBA salary is up to $9 million a year. And these guys sit out because they want to. And the NBA, instead of saying, no, we're paying you guys $20, $30 million a year. Play back-to-back games. The NBA says, let's move the season up so you guys don't have to play back-to-back games. I can't believe that. I'm so disappointed in the NBA. I mean, like, God, if I can say, I ain't going to hate on these young guys. God bless them making $30 million, $40 million a year. But you can't play back-to-back games, and you don't fly commercial like I did. You have the best shoes. You have the best stuff in the world, and you sit out games, and instead of the NBA saying, wait a minute, you need to play, the NBA says, no, we'll move the season up so you guys don't have to play back-to-back games. I think that's a disgrace.
Yeah, and it's something I when I was looking up stats, you know, this debate with Michael Jordan, LeBron, and I think we've settled that Michael Jordan or Wilt would be the best player of all time. But Michael Jordan played all 82 regular season games. It was either seven or eight times. LeBron has never played all 82 games.
Well, you know, listen, I love LeBron, and he's a great player and a great guy. But this notion of sitting out games for rest, I have a serious issue with it, Howard. I mean, I just don't think that's right. And then the thing they do that really pissed me off the most, they sit out on the road where guys don't get to see them but one time. That's really not fair. If you're going to go to a city one time, and it ain't just LeBron. And I give LeBron a little bit of a pass, but he's been in the finals all these years in a row. But we got guys who can't play dead who are sitting out of games to rest. And that's what I have a bigger problem. LeBron has played in the finals all these years. He's played in the Olympics two or three times. But when you got guys on bad teams resting, you need to look yourself in the face as a league.
Well, you know, here's part of that problem. When you're on the road and you only play one time and the fans don't get to see you, you should play like 15 to 18 minutes just so they get to see you. But that affects his stats. And I think players won't do that because it counts as a game and it affects your statistics.
Well, these guys are making so much money now. All these guys want the max deal. So their stats aren't going to go crazy. They're not going to go crazy over this. These guys are making so much money now. Like every time a good player, not even a great player, becomes close to free agent, he's going to get a max deal. I mean, that's just so much money in this thing right now. These guys, what they're trying to do, the reason they sit out, they want to extend their career. I wish, you know, they're using the excuse that they want rest. What they want, because you think about it, if you play an extra year or 2 years, we're talking $20 to $40 million, depending on who you are.
Right.
That's nothing to do with rest. I wish they would say, I'm just trying to extend my career a couple extra years. I mean, if you got your guy, I mean, James Harden just signed for 4 years, $282 million.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, think about that. And so an extra 2 years is a big deal.
It is a big deal. All right, now another issue when you're talking about the fans. The Sixers are playing the Boston Celtics in London. It's a Sixers home game. They will make more as an organization playing in London than playing at the Wells Fargo Center. But the bigger problem is you're taking one of the premier games from your fans. Now Boston only plays here once rather than twice. You're taking, and then after the opening game, the home opener, they don't play here at all. I have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with taking a home game at that level away from your fans?
Well, Howard, this is about money. They're not going to send. They're not going to send the 76ers against the Indiana Pacers over the line because nobody would come to the game. Listen, these owners. Listen, it's no secret. The owners. You know, we've had this conversation on your show many times. If I was commissioner, I'd have a rule. If your team is not, you know, I have no problem with quote-unquote tanking. That's the only way you're going to get better in this league. Everybody's tanked before. The Spurs did it when they got Tim Duncan and David Robinson. The Miami Heat did it when they went out and got Chris Bosh. The Knicks did it when they were trying to get LeBron and Chris Bosh. And like five or six teams tanked. I never understood why people just don't like Philadelphia. They gave them a bad rap. But if I was commissioner, I'd do this. You can't raise your ticket prices if you have a losing season. I think they should make it mandatory, not just in basketball, but across the board. If your team is below 500, you cannot raise your season tickets. I thought it was unfair when the Sixers were tanking that they kept raising their season tickets. If I was Adam Silver or Roger Goodell or Gary Bettman, I'd say, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this mandatory in all sports. As long as your team is below 500, you cannot raise your ticket prices. I think that would only be fair to the fans. But listen, these owners don't care about the fans. That's why they've been scamming these fans for years with these super stadiums.
Yeah,
I've never agreed with poor fans paying for these rich guy stadiums. That's one of the biggest scams we've ever had in sports for the last 20, 30, 40 years. You got a bunch of rich guys. God bless them for being rich, however they make their money. But we always make the fans pay for the stadiums, and that's a travesty. They should pay for their own stadium, most of it.
Where does the NBA price out their fans? For instance, the Sixers are raising some tickets, one section, over 200%. Per ticket.
I don't think, listen, no disrespect to the fans, Howard, but that $2.5 billion a year that we're paying the NBA is what they pay salaries. You know, our new TV deal went from $1 billion to $2.5 billion. That's what pays these NBA salaries.
Then why do they have to raise the price?
Just gravy, extra money for the owners.
How about greed?
That's why.
Does greed work?
Greed is a good word. They don't have to raise these prices that much. But, hey, man, these guys, and I don't agree with it, raising ticket prices all that much, but these guys in the money-making business, and they have a product. They have a product that people want to see. And it's that, and when you have that, you got all the cards.
Charles, you know what kind of fascinates me? It's not amazing. It's fascinating. You were at the Eagles with Billy Cunningham, and a lot of the players know who you – they don't know who Billy is, one of the original 50 greatest players in the NBA. But they know who you are, but not from your basketball. Are you kind of fascinated a little bit with younger people, and the athletes are younger, that don't know the history of the game they say they love, and they don't know some of the great players? And as much as I hate to admit it, you were a great player. But they know
you
from
how
TV.
In my generation, people thought the game. We were a little more, because, you know, we had to stay in college, and you had to learn a little bit more about the game. So, you know, I knew about guys before Magic and Bird. Most guys right around our time, they think the NBA started with Magic and Bird. And then the young guys who only went to came through the high school, their generation started with LeBron. Started with Kobe, and then LeBron took the torch. And now a guy's only in college for 1 year. So he didn't have to watch basketball. He's only watched LeBron and Kobe. Like I say, when I was in college for 3 years, I got a chance to watch the Celtics and the Lakers go at it every year. The Sixers were really good. So I got a chance to study basketball a little bit. If you're in college for 6 months, you're not really overly – you don't know a lot about basketball. You think basketball just started now.
Well, how about the kids in high school who are foregoing their senior year? They're coming out after 11th grade because they say they have all their credits. That makes it even worse.
You're just trying to get to the contract faster, yeah. Howard. That's all it is, man. I said, listen, you asked me earlier about money. Money has really become the root of all this stuff. I mean, you know, Mitchell Wiggins, I think, was the first guy who did it. But it really comes down to dollars, man. Guys are trying to get to that second and third contract, and that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, what people don't understand is you don't make a lot of money on your first contract. And then on that second contract, you're talking over way over $100 million. So every year you can cut that off, that's what they're thinking. I hate it. I hate kids coming to the NBA after 1 year. But, you know, I don't think you can put the toothpaste back in the bag.
Yeah, no, it's with the people that use toothpaste. All right, one football question about the Eagles. And I don't know how you stay up on everything. What kind and how good a team do you think the Eagles have this year? And I know you watch a ton of football.
Well, I think, you know, I root for the Eagles. You know, they're probably the third best team in the division. They're neck and neck with the Redskins. I mean, I think the Cowboys and the Giants are the two best teams in the division.
Even without Zeke Elliott for six games?
Yeah, but I think they'll still be able to go close to 500 because they got probably the best offensive line in football. Zeke is a stud. He got to grow up and he's got to grow up.
Sure.
But I think they're the third best team in the division at least, and I think they're right there with the Washington Redskins. And like I say, now it just comes down to how well Carson plays. And how well the defense comes together. I know just from watching television. I want to make sure I don't know a lot. I don't act like I get on the radio and know everything about football. From what I'm hearing, they're struggling on the backside of their defense. I know.
Well, they got Ronald Darby in a trade, which helps.
It helps, but you know, I'm a big Cox fan. I've watched him play for the last few years. I love a young kid, Barnett, coming from Tennessee. So I want to root for the Eagles, but I think I say they're in a tough division, but they got a bright future. And that's what you want to hear. Yeah, like you say, they're on the uptick. That's the thing I'll leave with. They're on the uptick.
All right. Well, I don't think they'll be third. I think they'll fight with the Giants for one or two. Only because I don't think the Redskins have not had a winning season for three straight years in forever, and this will be their third straight. The Cowboys have.
I said they're right there with the Redskins. I didn't put them past the Giants and the Cowboys.
I'm going up the ladder. The Cowboys have not had double-digit win seasons back to back since 2002, and the same.
But they've never had a stud running back and a terrific young quarterback.
Okay.
And they got obviously Dez out there. I mean, dude, they got that triplet thing again. If they keep growing together and grow up together, grow up together, they could have a nice little run for the next few years.
All right. Well, we'll find out, but I think I'm the one that's right in this case. But that's all right. It won't be the first.
Hey, I don't mind. Hey, listen, I hope you're right. I root for the Eagles.
Okay. I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah.
All right. All right, genius. It's always, and I appreciate your perspective for sure, because you have I think you have a better perspective on the problems of America when it comes to black and white than a lot of people.
Hey, man, I'm going to give you my honest opinion. Some people going to like them and some people not, but I'm not overly concerned about it.
All right. I appreciate it, Charles. Thanks for the
All right, Charles Barkley, always fascinating. And you can say what you want about him, but he's not afraid to voice his opinion. I believe he believes it, and it's not for me to understand, but I don't believe Charles Barkley ever has an agenda, which too many people have an agenda. I don't believe Charles Barkley ever has an agenda when he talks about those things. Hey, I may agree with him on a lot of things. I disagree with him on some things. But in most cases, I really do respect. You don't have to respect him, but I've known Charles so long, and he says what he feels. He has thought behind it, and I really do respect what he has to say. It was a little different talking to Charles about that, but he's done a show, did a series on TNT dealing with the social injustices around the country and the things that are going on. And if nothing else, I hope you got the feeling that Charles Barkley feels when it comes to those things in this country, especially. Certainly they go on in the world, but we're just dealing with the country right now. Hopefully you enjoyed episode number 17 of the Howard Eskin podcast, and we'll be back again next week, and we'll see what the Eagles team looks like heading into the season. The first game against the Redskins in Washington. The first two are actually on the road. The first game in Washington, and we'll see what the team does look like, because it really will be an interesting season for a lot of reasons. And again, we'll talk about it as we go through. Thanks again for joining us on the Howard Eskin podcast, always available, as you can subscribe on iTunes.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.